The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a wild sentence.
And you would think,
I'm not mad at you for suggesting it.
Look at my boy Q on Get Up, man. My boy Q's out there on Get Up on the screen. Look at that. Getting that shine on ESPN. Sorry, Shask. You know, I had to give him a shout out right there. Wow. But you think about this for low-risk, high-reward moves with these guys. I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at the backups because Brandon Allen's not good enough as a backup quarterback. If Brock Purdy's going to have arm issues and shoulder issues, and I know that durability, because that's what we're talking about here with Brock Purdy now, moving forward. Can he stay healthy for 17 games a season?
What's the bigger concern for you, the body or the up-and-down play?
Well, I don't think he's been as up and down. I think he's had a solid season.
He has not looked good the last month.
He hasn't thrown deep the last month, which is surprising.
Oh, but also, are they correlated, I guess, then, is the question.
But everything has to work around you, right? We think about Tom Brady. I thought Tom Brady was washed his last year in New England. I was convinced he was done. Father Time knocked on the door, kicked down the door, and I was like, yeah, Brady's done. He's going to go to Tampa. It's going to be lousy. Tom Brady's done. But he was also throwing to Kimbrell Tompkins. I can't name another receiver on that Patriots team.
They had Jacoby Myers.
Okay.
As a rookie. As an undrafted rookie. The only reason I know is because I watched every Patriot game because I had Tom Brady.
I mean, so Brock Purdy is throwing to Deebo Samuel, who can't get separation. Juwan Jennings is a very good receiver, but he's not gaining separation. He's not a downfield threat. And Ricky Pearsall's run 63 routes the last three games and gotten three targets and no catches. So I don't know how good the receiving core is. So is that on Brock Purdy, or is that on Shanahan and John Lynch on getting better wide receivers in here? I don't know these things. So what if he has just one explosive playmaker? Like when Brady went down to Tampa Bay, you have Mike Evans, he brought down Gronk, they bring in Antonio Brown, and the rest is history.
No, I hear you. That's like for like excellence, but like I see a lot of quarterbacks around the league that, you know, for whatever reason, 1 week, 2 week, 3 week stretches, they don't have their top dogs. We saw Matt Stafford without Puka and Cooper Kupp. And although it wasn't beautiful in terms of a box score, the guy is a swashbuckler late in games, and he makes things happen. Brock's had moments like that when all the Avengers are out there and all the superstars, but you take a couple guys away, and that's the difference to me of, can I carry this organization for quarters, stretches at times, and I need everything humming on the right point. And there's times where I don't know, man. I think he's really good. But when you make a commitment of $55, $65 million, like I have the same questions about Tua. I don't think Tua can do it, you know, for long stretches without Waddle and Tyreek Hill and say, hey, get on my back, let's do this.
You know what? When he's on the field, man, he is producing.
Tua?
He produces.
No, I doubt. But
he is producing at a high level.
But if it drops under 40 degrees, I have zero faith in him.
There's no doubt. But do you have faith in Brock Purdy under 40 degrees right now?
Right now, if it trickles a little bit of rain, it's like the over-under is 1.5 in terms of turnovers in the pocket.
Unbelievable.
So, like, that, to me, like, there's a combination of the body that I'm like, I don't know. And then there's like, dude, you're getting a little turnover happy this year.
I'm for the legal.
All right, yeah, I was about to do the legal right now. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HU1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on a free Odyssey app. All right, Brian Baldinger is going to join us at 7:30. 7:30, Brian Baldinger.
Crack, crack, crack.
We'll talk to Dr. Brian Feely from UCSF. He'll join us at 8:30.
Crack.
Talk about some of these injuries on the 49ers. And should they be long-term concerns, short-term concerns? We'll get into that with Dr. Brian Feeley for about 10 minutes at 8:30. Baldy at 7:30, like I just mentioned. He'll break down the Buffalo game and what to do moving forward. But I want to hear from Niner fans. 888-957-9570. One, do you still think the playoffs are a realistic possibility? And if you don't, how do you navigate the rest of the year? Do you start shutting down? And I'm not saying tanking, trying to lose on purpose, but Fred Warner does have a fractured ankle. Nick Bosa does have a hip and oblique injury. Trent Williams is dealing with an ankle and personal issues. Drake Greenlaw has to step on the field since rupturing his Achilles tendon in the Super Bowl. Do you play him knowing that he's an upcoming free agent? 888-957-9570. If you were the GM of the 49ers or the head coach of the 49ers, how would you navigate the next five games? The next five games are Chicago, the Rams, the Dolphins, the Lions, and the Cardinals. How would you navigate the next five games with this football team? How would you do it, Shasky?
It's case by case. So, Fred Warner, Fred, the last thing I want you to be is Patrick Willis. Like, if you have a fractured foot and you end up, or an ankle or whatever it is, and it ends up hurting you long term, like, I can ill afford to have my Hall of Fame level middle linebacker go into another season with an injured foot. Like, that's the last thing. I'm just so gun shy with what happened with Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman that I would say, like, if we can, I would shut Fred down. Fred has nothing to prove to me, right? I need Fred, especially at that position where I treat it kind of like the running back, where if I can reduce some of the wear and tear, I think you owe it to yourself. Nick Bosa. Nick needs to get the whatever oblique surgery or hip surgery or whatever the exact issue is on the side of his body. He needs to get that shored up because I need him 100% next year. And then I need to have a long look in the mirror with myself and with Nick Bosa. Like, hey, bro, are you going down your brother's path? Are you just going to be like hurt 1 week, play the next, hurt the next week after that? Like, what is going on? Can I rely on you? I'm dead serious. I think this is a serious question that I'm having right now with Bosa, which I didn't even see 2 years ago. And then you get to Brock Purdy, right? And to me, Brock Purdy is the more complicated one. On one level, I watched Jimmy Garoppolo earn his stripes with no weapons. Lewis Murphy as the number one, if you will, in a lost season and win five in a row and just basically inspire the fan base. And there's something to be said for that. But on the same level, when it comes to body and injury, if his shoulder is serious and it's affecting him and he has forearm or elbow or anything, and if there's connected and my doctors are concerned even in the slightest, as I watch this guy throw screen after screen after screen and can't throw spirals, like, there is a real conversation about shutting him down for the health of the kid and the health of the team and everything. And we'll worry about the contract when we worry about the contract.
That's interesting there. 650 Comcast Business Text Line. You know how I navigate? I talk about the Warriors. Well, they're on a four-game losing streak right now, and we will get into the Golden State Warriors. They have to win tonight. It's an Emirates NBA Cup game. We know that. You're all into the Cup game.
Well, the number one seed is at stake in the West for the NBA Cup.
Did you hear LeBron yesterday saying, I don't care about this tournament. The tournament makes no sense?
Of course.
As to being the first guy to pop champagne last year in Las Vegas? What a joke he is. You wanted him, not me. D in San Francisco. D, what's happening?
What's going on, Bonte and Shasky? How y'all doing this morning?
What's up, D?
What's up, man?
Hey, you guys need to let the fans know they need to relax. It's not that serious. The bottom line is, look at the big picture. The coach has lost all of his key coaching assistants over the last 5 years, and what we're seeing on the field is a direct impact of that. The reality of it is, the special teams is garbage because of coaching. The doggone defensive coordinators, he's gotten a terrible one this year because he went to the Super Bowl and he had to pick up who he could at the end, which was somebody on his staff. I think that everybody, this is overrated. The Niners are going to be back next year, back in the hunt for the Super Bowl. The reality, when we get all of our players back healthy, he gets a good coaching squad around him.
Key.
And as Shasky is far, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to cut you off, not to cut you off, but I wanted to ask you, who would you be interested in as a defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator, some assistants here? You got any names in mind?
Not no names in mind. That's not my specialty. That's what them guys over there are supposed to be able to assess and find the right match for them. But I think the coaching staff and our entire staff over there is good enough to pick the right people. They just need to have the time in order to do it.
Good deal. Good deal, D. Good deal. Yeah, he is right about the assistants. They need to something Steve Kerr did this past offseason. They upgraded the coaching staff on the sideline, on the bench, I should say, with Terry Stotts and Jerry Stackhouse. Nick Sorensen and Brian Snyder seem like they're out of their league right now. You need to upgrade from them. Yeah, you can't come back with Brian Snyder and Nick Sorensen.
You were referencing Belichick earlier. Part of why Belichick kind of faded at the end, he ran out of assistants.
Yep, no doubt.
He just did. Well, his contact list, just everybody was at other jobs.
And it's also why Shanahan reached out to Bill Belichick this past offseason saying, what do you want to do? Belichick, do you want to come aboard?
You work for me, I don't work for you.
Shanahan's like, yeah, that's not happening. Have fun on the Pat McAfee show. Brian Baldinger coming up, brought to you by Valvoline. Again, 888-957-9570. Niner fans, roasters. Got five games left. How do you navigate the next five games with the 49ers? Do you start shutting guys down? Do you still think you have a shot at winning the division? How do you navigate the next five games? 888-957-9570 is the number. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check your fluids, your tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and much, much more. And they guarantee safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations or coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. BayAreaOilChange.com.
See if his arm was going forward or not.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Baldy, coming up in 12 minutes right here on The Roast. Baldy, in 12 minutes, set your alarm clocks. Get to your computers, Coach Yak and everybody out there, Chase Sr., all you guys who are ready to aggregate Baldy, your time is now in 12 minutes, baby. Time to show out. Time to step out and show out, baby. Hello, I love you guys for listening. Tune in to Warriors Live today. We got Warriors and Nuggets. First time the Warriors will see the Nuggy Dugs. Nikola Jokic, Aaron Gordon's back with the Denver Nuggets. They lost to the Clippers the other night in the Intuit Dome. That was a really good basketball game on Sunday night.
You are obsessed with the Intuit Dome.
It's just what it's called, the Intuit Dome. Tonight, the Warriors are in Ball Arena in Denver.
Ball Arena?
Yeah, Ball Arena.
As in,
very into it.
What's the corporation that's called?
It's just Ball Arena. I don't know. I don't look into the corporate sponsors.
It used to be we'd name it after people.
It used to be named after the Pepsi Center.
It's LeVar. Yeah. LeVar's putting his name on it.
Yeah, it's the home court of Ball So Hard University.
Yeah, there
Terrell
you go.
Suggs is a graduate. You should there look you into
go.
It.
There you go.
That is, I go. Love that.
T Sizzle. Going to be a future NFL Hall of Famer. Tune to the Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. Hopefully the Warriors can snap this four-game losing streak, man. I need them to get a win tonight. We need a win.
Speaking of injuries,
they have some injuries. Draymond Green doubtful with the calf.
That's
been
not
upgraded
good.
To questionable. Steph Curry with the knee soreness in both knees.
Is he going to be able to pod through the calf injury?
He might be. He hasn't had a pod. He hasn't released one in a second, huh?
I don't know. He has this slow nose thing that keeps getting dropped onto the feed. Someone else who's trying to promote. So I've seen that a couple times drop in and I delete it. Not trying to hate. I just, you know, really only there for the Draymond content.
Yeah, we know you don't be trying to hate. You just hate.
Well, it's a byproduct of being real. You know, it's just a lot of things to not like in this society.
Hating is not real. No. So... 262 Comcast Business Text Line. As we asked the question, 888-957-9570. How do you navigate the next five games with the 49ers with all these injuries? Christian McCaffrey basically out for the season with a PCL injury. Jordan Mason out of nowhere, ankle sprain. He's on IR. He's probably done for the season. So Isaac Grendel, the rookie out of Louisville, is going to get the start for the 49ers with Patrick Taylor Jr. backing him up. 262 of the Comcast Business Text Line says Debo needs to start taking 5 to 8 carries a game. Probably will. Got to find some way to get him the ball because it's not working in the pass game, right?
I refuse to believe that this is just going to be the end of Debo Like, what we've seen the last couple weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is, like, that's what we're going to get the last. I refuse to believe it. Maybe I'm wrong, and he ends up just having even worse performances, but it cannot end like this.
By the way, I just thought about it. Since somebody brought this up, who's paying for House of Prime Rib? And I saw my boy Fezzy Feller, House of Prime Rib, last night. Draymond, I need you to play, big dog. We can't let this injury linger.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
We're 19 games really in.
He needs to stay safe, Joe Shousky. He should maybe agree. For a couple
at
weeks.
At least here. A month.
They're flexing their depth, right? You got to lean into
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Don't
point.
Flex why your calf, you want, though, Draymond.
No. Why do you want Shousky to win a bet?
I want something to be excited about if this season goes haywire, and that might be the one thing that we're going
to
be keeping track of.
I don't want it to go haywire.
I said if. Not. We don't want it to go haywire.
Just because your Lakers are
what does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything? Don't pivot to that, all right? Don't panic, Joe Shousky.
I won't.
Draymond Green just has to play 46 more games.
There you go.
46 more games.
By the way, the Ball Arena, it's an aluminum company. They make mason jars and stuff like that, too. Yeah. Ball
mason
Arena.
Jars, underrated.
I like that. So Ball Arena, you got the Intuit Dome, you got Chase Center, you got Golden One. By the way, Kendrick Lamar and SZA just announced the Grand National Tour. They're going to be at Oracle Park May 29th, just in case you like Kendrick Lamar. And SZA. SZA's got heat, man. She's good. She's got a voice. She's good.
Speaking of musical artists, your boy, Jay-Z, did you hear what happened?
No, what happened?
Well, he spent decades telling us how he was one of the great drug dealers of all time, only to have his marijuana company fold and file for bankruptcy within like 3 years.
Well, he was a great street hustler. This is corporate. The marijuana club industry is saturated by the government and everybody else. Doesn't mean that he wasn't a great hustler in the Marcy Projects. Dude sold coke. Dude had cold chains. It's different being in the marijuana business than being on the street selling marijuana. It's just a different ballgame.
I just said a sentence. I didn't ask for your.
I'm just telling
to
you.
Defend
I'm just,
him.
I'm just schooling you because you know.
Burner had no problem turning cookies into a mega billion dollar corporation.
Well,
Shut up, Burner.
I just said a sentence. I didn't ask for anything else.
You threw it out there. You obviously wanted an explanation, so you threw it out there.
I mean, why even bring it up if you don't want a response?
Right, you don't want a response. You want to just sell first day on the show? Marijuana. A lot of marijuana companies go under. You know, shout out to Burner for making it cutting through, but Jay-Z's got bigger things on his mind. He's had bigger things on his mind.
Yeah,
the guy owns the basketball team.
I'm just thinking of Joe Shousky at home saying that to Michelle. I just said a sentence. I didn't need your response. You think that goes over well, Joe?
Oh, there's no doubt.
That does not go over well.
Well, look. Let me just lay this out. I do not talk at home the way I talk to you guys.
Oh no, Michelle checks him.
Yeah,
he don't say nothing.
Yeah, look.
The only time he talks back to Michelle is she mentions that he doesn't season his food.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. That was BS.
At the wedding, that was great.
Oh, what's that great? Hey, Spadoni.
I didn't know you didn't season your food.
Hey, Spadone. She goes, you know, Joe didn't season his food until I started dating him. Joe turned so red.
Biggest lie ever.
Joe turned so red. And Spadoni put his hand on his chin and goes, oh, tell me more.
Like Confucius over there.
You don't like hot sauce?
You guys have all eaten with me. At what point I'm like, do not season my food.
So Sam goes,
I'd like buttered noodles, please.
Goes, oh, Joe, you know, he didn't season his food until he started dating me. I sat back and was like, oh, material. See, I get you back just like that.
It's all right.
It's all good.
My point on Jay-Z still stands.
You hate. You love to hate. You know, we got TC in Sacramento calling Shanahan a high-level loser. He spurred me to call you a high-level hater.
You're a high-level loser, bro.
On Jay-Z, I am at this point.
Oh, no, on a lot of Baldy's going to join us, who's not a high-level hater. Baldy just keeps it real. He says it like it is.
Crack.
Probably the first guy to say, the 49ers look slow. That was back in week 4. And now you see the graphic in the Buffalo game. Last in separation
it's
on the routes.
Bad.
Last in. What was it? What was the graphic on the rushing? What was it? I'm going to pull it up.
Their win rate is the worst in the league.
Yeah.
I know that.
Pass rushing.
They're just. Bonte, can you name any of the defenders?
No.
They're playing some guy, Anderson, with the Guardian cap. No one's ever even heard of him. Okawanu is getting, like, Isaac Okawanu? Whatever the guy's name
Sam.
Is. Sam Okawanu. And everyone's like, who? And the guy made a play a couple weeks back against Arizona, and we haven't heard from him in a month. Until they showed his name as a starter. Oh, by the way, Leonard Floyd, another one. Leonard Floyd, I mean,
yeah,
thanks for coming
out
this year. Really appreciate the guaranteed money, but
That hasn't worked out.
I mean,
I was excited about that.
There's a thing called the diaper genie. I'm going to start throwing some of these contracts in the diaper genie.
What's the diaper genie?
You just, it's like you push your foot down and the top like spits.
Oh, yeah. It's a diaper trash can.
Yeah, you throw the diaper in there. Like that contract, just throw that in the diaper genie.
I like that.
Woo, P.U.
949 is asking, because this is a very important question. I tried asking them yesterday, but got no answer. But will Willard and Dibs be at the Doobie Awards? That I have no idea. But if Willard and Dibs want to come December 20th down to Laughing Monk Brewery for the Doobies, come on down. It's going to be a party.
You know, I don't know if Willard would show up. He usually is, you know, he's got like walks and fishing to do in the morning. I see a lot of, the guy's very adventurous and outdoor-y. He, in the morning, does like either a walk with the dog or it looks like he's going fishing with his kid. But on a Friday, I don't know. They might have school. They might
Dan
not.
Dan Dibley here. Squirt.
Yeah, but he is up in the morning.
I know.
It's December 20th.
But he's out doing stuff. You know what I mean?
Maybe he could do stuff at Laughing Monk Brewery.
Dibs, I don't know. Down. I don't know. Dibs, now that he's got the different shift with the baby, I don't know what he's got going. I don't know. I can't speak for
him.
The
invitation is open. The invitation is open to anybody who wants to come down December 20th. Tell me to take the day off.
Willard shows up and he wants to moderate the entire morning roast. Oh, yeah, that would
not
be funny.
That's not happening. That's not happening. Sorry.
He could do he can announce the awards.
He's like the Jimmy Kimmel or the Conan O'Brien for the Oscars.
No. We got Filmo Mike.
Yeah.
Yes, it's going to be Filmo, but saying it's funny if Willard...
No, it would not be funny. What would be funny about that?
Well, are you too okay?
What would be funny?
Are you too okay?
I told Lubman.
I'm scared of Willard.
2 weeks ago. I'm not scared of Willard. So I'm not afraid to say I don't want Willard moderating the Doobie Awards.
This is not his lane.
This is not his lane. Stop trying to. We got this covered, Lubman. You just worry about what bowl game Miami's going to be in. Is it going to be the Sun Bowl? The Holiday Bowl?
It's going to be the college football playoff
game. It certainly ain't no college football playoff game you're playing in. Blowing a 21-0.
You think Miami might get in there, though?
Do you think Florida State might get in?
No, I know they're not going to get in. That's okay. Hey, when's the last time you guys won a natty?
guys, this ACC competition that you guys have going on, it's a very niche audience that you're reaching. Well, now that Stanford and Cal are in the ACC, maybe it's a bigger audience.
It is.
No, it's still pretty niche.
That changes absolutely nothing.
Hey, college football's huge in the Bay Area.
Let me tell you something. In NCAA, in my dynasty, as I've gone from Eugene, Oregon to Ann Arbor, Michigan, the Stanford Cardinals were the national championship, and they're number one team in the country right now.
That's when you know it's a video game.
Hey, Andrew Luck's a GM now. Watch out now. Come on now. Miami.
I can't wait to ask Baldy about, I don't know what the Niners were trying to accomplish on offense.
Running the ball. They're running the ball very well.
Yeah, but I'm talking about all of the passing screens. It was like screen after screen.
How many times do we need to hear the Jay Gruden cut? Or the Patrick Peterson cut? Or Kirk Morrison? Or anybody out there who's watched the 49ers passing game say, yeah, it's a bit outdated.
I'm not saying that you got to be exotic in the snow. Like, I get that. Like, I understand trying to simplify it. But how can you walk into a game against Josh Allen and you're down multiple scores for almost the entire game and say, yeah, I need to walk out of this game with one extra target after the first play of the game from George Kittle? I don't understand. What were you trying to accomplish? Now, maybe the counter is, hey, Joe, we got out there and it was totally different than what we thought. And for the life of me, man, you're okay to have a couple of duds here and there. No one's saying you got to be brilliant every play call all year long. I don't know what they're trying to accomplish on offense.
You keep reading and keep hearing from people saying that Shanahan's passing game is not built to come from behind, which I have a problem with. You need to have somebody who, you need to fix this passing game because you're going to fall behind in football games. It's going to happen. You're not going to be playing with the lead every single game. That's front running. No, you got to be able to have a passing game. Oh, wow, it's already 7:30. You got to be able to evolve with the passing game. All right, it's Shark Week, baby.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
Oh, we love this time of the day every single week on a Tuesday morning on the roads. Brian Baldinger joins us courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line, presented by our proud partner, GoTo State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with GoTo State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Baldy, good morning to you. We heard you on the radio out here in the Bay Area calling the Vikings a Cardinals game. You sounded good up there at U.S. Bank Stadium in a thrilling game, 23-22 Vikings. But we're here to talk some Niners as they get beat up in the snow by Buffalo, 35-10. And let's just start with the quarterback and dive right into it. Don't forget, he's our Odyssey NFL insider. Of course, the best football show podcast. Baldy does it all. He takes no breaks during football season. So with that said, how would you evaluate Brock's performance in a snow game like that in Buffalo? Is it a one-off, or the overall picture is he's regressing? How do we assess Brock Purdy in that situation?
I don't think he's playing great by any stretch, but at the same time, I don't know exactly what he's supposed to do. Like, you know, you throw the ball on the first throw to Kittle, and he doesn't catch another pass. Now, they threw to him. He was interfered with. You know, a couple things happened. He wanted to go to him. He got guys jumping up in his face. They ran the ball very well, which helps. But they're not getting any big plays, you know, and that's kind of falls on the quarterback right now. So that's where they're struggling right now. And the finish drives, I mean, the turnovers are killing him, you know, and they're not taking the ball away. So you're minus three on the road in that conditions. You got Juice fumbling at the goal line and, you know, Debo fumbling, you know, deep in his territory and a kickoff. Like, these things are killing his team right now.
You mentioned that Brock Purdy hasn't played great for quite some time. We're not seeing the deep shots. You mentioned the turnovers, six turnovers the last 2 weeks. They've forced no turnovers against Green Bay and Buffalo. Where has Brock Purdy regressed the most? Is it a receiver issue? Is it a playmaker thing? Or is it on the quarterback? You mentioned that the quarterback's not seeing it. Where's he regressed, Baldy?
I just think, I don't know how much he's regressed. You know, he's not making plays beyond the X's and O's like we are used to seeing on the movement type plays when the play breaks down and he can, you know, scramble and find Kittle that goes, you know, for 50. Like, those type of plays aren't really happening right now. So I can't say there's just one thing. I think he still sees the field very well. I think he's still accurate with the football. I mean, all the stats say that he is, and they're still getting some chunk plays, but, you know, they're not putting drives together. They're putting themselves in bad predicaments, and it's tough to they're not good enough to overcome it right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I just, maybe I'm searching here, but I felt for a while like he's not hitting the back foot and as boom, 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 decisive as he once was. And I just, I don't know what to make of it when I'm watching the guy. Like, I've seen him pump fake more and be reluctant to throw downfield and in the pocket more this year than at any point last year. And I don't know if he's not trusting what he's seeing downfield, if guys aren't getting open. Like, I don't know what to make of the confidence that I'm seeing from Purdy. It just doesn't feel the same.
Well, Buffalo's not going to give you much now, Joe. Like, those two safeties are going to be back there. Taylor Rapp, you know, Hamlin. Like, you're not going to get single high safety against Buffalo. That's why they ran the ball pretty well, you know, at times. They got some explosive runs, you know, from Mason and McCaffrey, both, and Grando. I mean, you got some good runs. And so they're willing to give those up, but they're not going to let you throw the ball over the top. And it kind of make you hesitate. You know, you're not going to get a lot of man coverage. With Buffalo, you're not going to get them out of that too deep shell, and so they're going to keep it underneath. They do the same thing to Miami. They choke you out, Joe. You don't see Tyreek Hill ever get behind Buffalo. I'm just throwing, you know, one team out there, but that's how they have a system, and the linebackers are very disciplined in their drops and what they take away, and they kind of make you hold it a little bit, Joe. And it's kind of unique, but look, they've dominated that division 5 years in a row, no matter who's in there at corner and linebacker, at safety for the most part. They kind of make you hold it, and they kind of make you think, like, this thing isn't really a great throw.
Interesting. You know, you kind of referenced it. We were kicking it around. Kittle in the post game was like, yeah, I ran, you know, I caught a pass. I ran like six or seven other routes, and that was about it. For the life of me, during the game, I'm going, we're down two, three, four scores at one point in the game late in the third quarter. And
You're not throwing the ball. Now, I understand you're running it well, but how can you go into a game against Buffalo knowing you're going to have to put points on the board and just not have George Kittle, a Hall of Fame level tight end, be a big part of the passing game? For the life of me, it just doesn't make sense. I don't understand it.
Real quick, Bob, did you hear George Kittle? Did you hear George Kittle after the game Sunday?
No.
Listen to this.
We'll pull it up in just 1 second here, but you could answer that, and then we'll play for you after.
It's just I don't get what they were trying to accomplish with Kittle. I know he's a great inline blocker. I know you got to keep guys in. He's one of the best tight ends the Niners have ever had.
Listen to this, Baldy. The back and forth after the game against Buffalo.
You got a pass the first play.
I did.
And then catch another pass.
I did not.
An explanation on why you did not?
No. I do not have an explanation. I think I ran like 6 more routes the rest of the day. Could be a combination of that, but no idea. Oh goodness gracious, no. No, I didn't feel that. I felt pretty open multiple times. This is what it is.
That's as critical as we ever heard George Kittle, Baldy, and he said he ran 6 routes the rest of the game, and I remember you 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They ran a route for Dross. Well, you were saying, why can't you just run that for George Kittle? He's the best tight end in franchise history. He's elite. He's playing at a high, high level. 2 targets? Again, this is coming off a Super Bowl loss where he has 4 targets. I don't get it, Baldy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was in Minnesota on Sunday, and Trey McBride, Arizona's got 73 catches. He had 12 on Sunday. I didn't have any touchdown catches like George, but they call plays for him all the time. And if you looked at the body types, just the body type, Georgia is a better blocker, but Trey McBride is a hell of a player, a great athlete, much like George. I mean, they call plays for him over and over and over again. It could be little whip routes. It could be stick routes. Like, there's tight end delays. There's a million ways to get the tight end the ball. But back before they realized I had no speed and became an offensive lineman, I was a tight end. And, I mean, I could draw up. And that's all Kyle. It's all Kyle. Like, enough of the system and your offense. Like, get the ball to your playmakers. Like, I can draw up 5 plays to get George the ball. Because we know what he's like after the catch. You know that he's going to be a hard tackle. And McBride's a hard tackle. He runs through contact. But, like, I'm thinking, and I've never met Trey before until Sunday. So they got a good tight end room. So I went over there, I started talking to him, and I watched him warm up. And he's very similar to George. I mean, they're both 6'5", they're both 250 or thereabouts, and they both run really, really good. But one team features the tight end. He's got 23 more catches than George does. One team features the tight end, the other team doesn't really feature him. They just run their offense, and if he's the go-to guy because of what the defense does, then they go to him. They should have thrown to him a couple more times. They had one was pass interference down the field. On Rasul Douglas or whatever it was, you know, and then one, they wanted to go to him on a scene and the defense lineman's in, you know, in Brock's face and he couldn't throw it. But regardless, I mean, there's 5 different ways you can get your tight end the ball.
Wow. Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands guest line on the morning roast with Joe Shasky, the Butcher, Bonte Hill. Speaking of targets, how about this one, Baldy? They spent a first round pick on Ricky Pearsall. He's added up and down year off and on the field, on and off the field. But the last 3 games, I saw this, and it boggled my mind. He's run 63 routes the last 3 games. He's got 0 catches and 3 targets. Now, is it a combination of him not getting open? Is it a combination of Brock Purdy not getting him the football? Because you would think at this point of the season, with their playoff hopes basically dead, I know they got like a 6% chance, but let's be realistic. They're 5-7 right now with a bunch of injuries. It doesn't look likely that that's going to happen here, especially with their next 5 games. But how does Ricky Pearsall run 63 routes the last 3 games and only get 3 targets and 0 catches? Is he not getting open? What's going on with that, Baldy?
Well, what surprised me about that stat right there, because I did not know that, is that he's even run 63 routes because you don't even notice him. You don't even know he's on the field.
Wow.
Like, that's how invisible he is. Like, I'm thinking, well, where is he? All right, I see Juwan out there slipping and sliding. I see George doing what he's doing. Like, where's the ball even going for the most part? It's not really – I don't even know who it's going to. Obviously, it's not going to Pearsall, but I know. I talked to him on the field before the game in Green Bay. He said – he's here to beat man coverage. I haven't seen him get open. I haven't seen him even look at him, where he's even being featured in any way right now.
Wow. And what are you seeing from Debo? I mean, the last couple weeks, and this pains me. Like, he's one of my favorite players, and he's a glorified $30 million kick returner because he's been excellent on the kick returns, although he did have the fumble. It's just, I don't see him doing anything really on offense. What are they trying to accomplish with Debo? I know it's a nightmare right now. We sound super negative, but, like, they got to get this thing going. What's going on with Debo?
Nothing. I mean, nothing's going on with Debo. I mean, he doesn't separate when he's, you know, he's not getting open. There's nothing that looks exceptional about him. I mean, we liked him in the dual role, but why would you hand the ball off to him if you had, before this game, McCaffrey and Mason, who both played really well, and Gregor? Like, what carries you want to take away from those guys to give it to Debo? You don't. So, you know, we've seen games where he lined up and started the game at tailback because of injuries and stuff. So you're taking that away from him. And now what is he? Is he a slot receiver? Is he an outside receiver? Like, he really doesn't have a position right now. He's just kind of a playmaker when given the chance, but he's not really going to be able to create a whole lot on his own by getting open.
Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands guest line on 95.7 The Game. We go over to the defense. Buffalo 4-4 in the red zone. James Cook untouched on a 65-yard touchdown run. What a terrible angle by Tig Brown. Jalen Graham just gets swallowed up in the hole. I was like, wow, there's no resistance there. This defense, I know they're without Nick Bosa. Dre Greenlaw's who knows if he's going to play. Fred Warner's on a fractured ankle that he said he suffered back in week 4. What are you seeing from this defense? Or I mean, is it slow? Well, is it scheme? I mean, is a nightmare.
You look at the touchdown run by James Cook, and you know it's the first play that Jalen Graham's on the field. So that's how you know. The first thing I noticed is, oh, Fred's not out there.
Yep.
First thing I saw when I watched the play. So Fred's not out there. Now Jalen Graham runs into Tig, runs into Jair, and they collide, and they're both on the ground. And there goes James Cook. And really, but still, okay, so you have that collision. That stuff does happen. And it's not going to happen with Fred Warner there, but it does happen. But that's how you know the lack of speed on that defense. Nobody goes 65 yards in a sleep. Like, you watch the pursuit. Like, James Cook ran away from everybody. And that's, you know, I've been saying it for weeks now. Like, they look like a slow team. They're a slow defensive line. You know, they're just slow in there. And, you know, James Cook goes 65 like that. That should never happen, but, you know, Fred Warner's not in there, and that's what happened.
I'm grasping at straws, Baldy. Does Malik Mustafa at least look good? Because he looked like the only guy who wanted to hit anyone on Sunday night. I mean, is there any silver lining? I know Renardo Green has made some progress as a DB. Yeah. Like, they didn't have D'Amino Lenore out there. Poor Charvarius Ward and everything he's been going through. I don't even know what to say. But is there any silver lining with Malik or Renardo or any of these guys? I'm grasping.
They were both on Amari for no gain until Amari pitched it, you know, Josh, you know, and played a little street ball right there and got in there. I mean, they made the play, but nobody had ever seen anything like that before. So, yes, Malik, it will hit you. Like, he shows up. But, you know, if you're counting on your safeties to be, like, the safety is the last line of defense for a reason. I don't see any defense lineman making a play. I'm watching Deion Dawkins just play out there with your Gross Matos, with Ukoamu. I mean, he's playing with those guys out there. Nobody's winning any one-on-ones. Nobody's getting off blocks right now. Like, it's not, you know, the linebacking core is depleted. Like, they can't figure out who to play. Devondre, D, like, does it make a difference at this point? They just look very pedestrian at this point.
Even when they were healthy, Baldy, what was the capabilities of this defense under Nick Sorensen? Because there's been a lot of heat on this defense coordinator. Obviously, they fired Steve Wilks a couple days after the Super Bowl. Nick Sorensen comes in. He's with this team the last couple of years as a position coach. What have you seen from Nick Sorensen's scheme and creativity, whether it's blitz packages or non-blitz packages? I know they didn't blitz Seattle at all a couple of weeks ago to the final drive, and they didn't work. So what did you see from Nick Sorensen and his creativity on the defense side of football?
Well, you can only... You know, you got to have the horses, you know, in order to kind of scheme some of this stuff up. But still, if you have no horses, you better figure out some scheme where you're getting a free hitter. I don't see any of that. You know, I see Arizona doing that over and over and over again from Nick Rales. Like, I see unbelievable. In fact, I texted one of the offensive linemen in Minnesota last week about some of these third down blitzes that got home to Sam Darnold like three times in a row. And they just out-schemed him. But I don't see that at all. I don't see that type of creativity from Nick right now. And maybe he feels like he can't hold up on the back end and he's afraid to do it. But, you know, you can't let teams just go up and down the field like Green Bay and Buffalo are doing to you.
4-4 in the red zone, Shasky, Buffalo.
Monte, yeah, we're not good. But Baldy, like...
Well, I mean, they got Josh Allen, too, now.
Right.
So Josh Allen is, he's running for one.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a different animal.
Now. He's whizzing the ball through the snow like it's just nothing. I mean, he's...
Well, that's the thing that bothered me, Joe, is nobody... I was saying this to Nahagian yesterday. Nobody practices in the snow. Nobody. Buffalo's got an indoor facility. If it snows in Orchard Park, they're indoors. Nobody plays in the snow. But from the very first play... I didn't see a Buffalo. I'm watching James Cook make these cuts. Like, no problem at all. Josh Allen, no problem at all. Like, even in his drops and his throws, I'm watching the 49ers slip all over the field from the opening drive. And I can't figure it out. Like, I understand. I don't care if they're a West Coast team, if they practice in Santa Clara. Like, your job, it was known from the very beginning of that game. Your job is to get the right cleats on. You know you're going to Buffalo, so you know you've probably got three different types of cleats. Why are the only people that are slipping in that game are 49ers? Like, I watched the defensive linemen come off the ball, and they're flat on their face. Like, on the ground, I didn't see one. I didn't see that happen to Ed Oliver. I didn't see that happen to Greg Rousseau. I didn't see it happen to any Buffalo, Von Miller. I didn't see it happen to any guys out there. It's just amazing to me how one team could be slipping and sliding all game long, and the other team I didn't see slip once.
Now, it was an embarrassing performance on Sunday Night Football. There's no doubt about it. And I got to turn around and play the Chicago Bears looking ahead on Sunday against Chicago, who had that debacle on Thanksgiving Day. We'll get to Matt Eberflus and how he got fired in the end of that game. But just Chicago, their defense is still solid. I thought their defense played very well in that second half against Detroit. What is the challenge for the 49ers now this Sunday against Caleb Williams and company? How did they slow that offense down?
Well, they're good. They're good defense. I mean, they give up too many big plays in the run game, to be honest with you. That's like, that has plagued them all year long. You go back to like week one against Tennessee, and they've done it. But for the most part, you know, they've been very good. I mean, they don't give up a lot of explosive plays. They're a zone team. They've got an excellent secondary. If Jalen Johnson and Tyreek Stevenson and Kevin Byard, if they're all out there, Jawan Brisker hadn't played in weeks, but if they're all out there, they're an excellent secondary. Their slot defender is a great, great player. So it looks like Montez Sweat is back out there. The linebackers are playmakers. I mean, they squeeze you. Like, they don't give up big plays, and they tackle well. So, you know, that was an Eberflus coach group, and they played pretty well all year long right now. The improvement on this team is the moment that Thomas Brown took over the offensive coordinator position, the offense is completely different. And he's probably – I mean, I've heard he's already like the leader in the clubhouse to become the new head coach. He's a very impressive guy. But I think offensively, Caleb has really stepped up since he took over 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, you saw some throws that they were making. I mean, obviously, the play clock situation notwithstanding. But we'd be remiss if we didn't bring this up. Like, watching the game early on, for Bay Area fans, it was like, wow, it reminded me of KD. KD comes back with the injury. He's in the finals. Oh, yeah. He's cooking. And then all of a sudden, just a little cut and the calf rolls up. You know what I mean? And he tears his Achilles and he's out and you are just heartbroken. I'm watching CMC and he is on fire. And it feels like his eyes are matching his speed and he's hitting holes. And it's like, I texted the group, I'm like, oh my God, this is vintage CMC. And like, I started to believe again. I'm like, maybe there's something here and they got something going. And then he takes that little pitch to the outside and just goes down, and my heart sinks. And I felt gutted for him, and I'm thinking, are we ever going to see – I didn't know what the injury was. Are we ever going to see CMC come back and be what he was? I don't even know. They're saying it's a knee. I'm going to take him at face value. I thought I saw the calf roll up into the leg. Baldy, just all your CMC thoughts. I don't even know what to say. This is devastating. He's the highest paid running back in the league. Cover of Madden. I thought he was the best player in the league last year. And I think he's one of the greatest 49ers in terms of an individual season I've ever seen. This is a huge loss.
No, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's, you know, non-contact. The play before it not right before, but his last carry, like, it was a shoestring, and he was going to go to the house. Like, he hit that thing. He had, like, and I talked to him up in Green Bay, and he'd been missing some holes, and it was on him. But his vision, exactly what you said, Joe, his vision and his cuts, the line did a good job for him, but he was on to the safety, and he's breaking tackles and running through contact, and he looked like McCaffrey for the first time all year. And then that non-contact thing, and I don't know what happened. I've watched it from every angle 20 times, and, you know, the as soon as that foot hit the ground, man, he buckled, and I don't know what happened. We saw the thing where it looked like something rolled up. Who knows if what that is? I don't know. But he's going to be on the shelf. I don't know if he's going to need surgery or not, but he's not going to play again this year.
Nope.
And so that's probably not a bad thing right now. But at the same time, I don't know the answer to that, because I showed this play the other day, Joe, of Derrick Henry taking his shot from Nolan Smith in the Philadelphia Eagle game. And I saw Derrick Henry buckle. Like, he got hit in the hip full speed. And I saw 250 pounds just buckle. He had a hard time getting up. And that's Derrick Henry. He was built out of Kevlar, right? Like, these guys only have so many hits in them. Like, these shots that these guys take, I don't know if McCaffrey can be McCaffrey again. Like, I think he was guilty, and maybe I'm way out of line. So if it gets back to Christian when I say this, I don't mean it to be an attack, but I think he's guilty of overtraining in these off seasons. Like, running backs need to – you need to stay in shape. You got to take care of your body to get it. But when you carry the ball 400 times or touch it 400 times, like, you need a long recovery, and you don't need to be – at the trainer's house, you know, doing the stuff that these explosive moves. And I don't know if that's what led to the Achilles, issues, but I'm sure it contributed. His dad said so, you know, and I think the hardest thing for some of these guys to do is just to rest. And that's what he needed to do.
Obviously, we don't need to talk about Eberflus and the decision to not call a timeout on Caleb or whatnot. That was a disaster. I've never seen anything like that. He's gone,
yeah.
So they move forward here. But I do want to ask you about the Al-Shaair hit. Azeez Al-Shaair in Jacksonville, he's been suspended for 3 games. And Jask and I were in agreement here that it's tough for a defender these days when a quarterback is sliding. You don't know if they're going to fake slide, and you're going full speed, and you're trying to slow down. Now, the forearm to the helmet was nasty. What's your take on this here? Was it appropriate to get suspended for 3 games? And then in the hit itself, because Trevor Lawrence got popped, he's probably going to be out this week. And then the brawl breaks out. I respect Jacksonville for protecting a quarterback. But what is a defender supposed to do in that situation every single week, Baldy? Where do you stand on this?
Well, you saw Azeez in San Francisco for years. I mean, I asked Fred Warner about him. Like, is these run blitzes of him, or is this just him, like, attacking the ball? And he says, well, he just sees it and he goes. Like, he fires, like, it looks like a run blitz. And so I got to know Azeez over the years. Like, I don't believe for 1 second that he's a dirty player. He's got he's making this full-speed collision. All right, the quarterback goes down. You can't stop in the middle of it. I think he's suspended because it turned out to be an injury. If Trevor Lawrence just got up and it was just a flag, I don't think there'd be a suspension. But the quarterback is hurt because of it. And I understand that we want to protect these guys. I think it's a little strong, 3 games, to be honest with you. I can see a game. I mean, they're in a playoff hunt right now. They're trying to win the division. He's been in and out of the lineup a little bit, but he's a difference maker for that team. They play without a lot of the linebackers throughout the year. But it's unfortunate, because I don't believe for 1 second he had any intent to injure Trevor Lawrence, and I don't know how you measure it if you did.
Yeah.
But I don't believe, knowing Azeez a little bit, that there was intent. We've seen bits like that from Dre Greenlaw.
Yep.
I don't think you get to know Dre. He's not a violent guy on a football field. He plays a violent game, and he's had a lot of late hits, and, you know, he's been flagged a bunch, or a couple of times at least. Just think it's just a one-time thing from Azeez. I haven't seen that from him.
Where are you going to be at this weekend, Baldy? You were in Minnesota last week for a doozy. They seem to like the games of the week, man. I'm jealous. Where are you at this weekend?
Last week there was only three games that featured two teams with winning records, and that was one of them up there last week. So I'm going back. I'm going to see Atlanta and Minnesota, Kirk Cousins' return.
Oh.
Kirk Cousins was awful last week. Just awful. So I don't know, like, if Michael Penix is in the warm-up circle right now or not, the on-deck circle. I'm not sure. But I'm a big Michael Penix fan. Huh. But this is Kirk Cousins' return to Minnesota. He's got his hands full out there against that team.
You know, Baldy, we were talking about this yesterday. I was some random radio show. I don't even know what it was over Thanksgiving break. The word in Atlanta is that the ball just comes out of Penix's hands better than anybody down there. He's lighting it up in practice. It feels like if Atlanta loses another game, the noise will start to get louder and louder and louder about Michael Penix Jr. down there in the ATL.
Well, just think about this. Think about this. Look at Bo Nix and the development that that kid has gone through. But week one and week two, he couldn't get a ball to a wide receiver to save his life. Now he's airing it out all over the field. And the confidence that he's playing the game with, he looks like he's back at Oregon, playing Oregon State. You know, in some Apple Cup or something, you know, whatever they call that stuff up there. But if you played Michael Penix from the beginning, like, they probably might be running away with the division. The kid is an elite athlete. He's smart as a whip. Like, he has got an unbelievable arm. Like, sometimes you've got to play these guys and let them play through it. You know, the quicker you get him on the field, the better you're going to find out if he's the guy.
Baldy, I believe Oregon State Civil War, and I believe Washington State is Apple Cup because thank you. Fuji Civil Apple. War, yeah.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, though.
No, I think you're right about that, Joe.
You're right. Football. It's the Civil War, and I think they called it they changed it up because it's Civil War. You know, people got a little sensitive about that, so I think it's a different name
or whatnot. Four score and seven years ago.
We just called it a big rivalry game between Oregon and Oregon State. Baldy, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you, buddy.
Thank you, guys, man. Yep. Talk to you next week.
Anytime. Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, the best football show podcast. He was here on the River Islands guest line. Now it's time to talk about the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right. Christian McCaffrey, gone. They also lost backup Jordan Mason. He's on IR with an ankle injury. And head coach Kyle Shanahan said that Mason suffered a high ankle sprain at some point during the Niners' loss. It was his best game in weeks. Did not know exactly when the injury happened, but he's going to miss the next four games. He could return for the last regular season game against the Arizona Cardinals.
You know the Joe Pesci scene in Goodfellas where he walks into the room and gets blasted in the head? That was me realizing, McCaffrey's out for the year, and I have Mason in fantasy. And I dropped Garendo.
Oh, that was smart. You're having a terrible fantasy year. Sounds like
I was running out of players.
Sounds like you're having a terrible year. It's called roster management.
I hate fantasy right now.
GM skills are not up to par, buddy. Heard something from Guido. Guido said you've been sneaking for a long time.
I'm not a GM, even though I'd love to be one.
Injury Guido report brought to you by Boxer Gerson. I'm telling you, I might be in a playoff in every single league.
Did Guido really say something? Because I have a pair of shoes of his in my basement. I might not give them to him.
You should. Well, he's talking. Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. I have a question for everybody out there. And the question is, you know, we'll get to the Warriors a little bit later, but the question I have, and I'm stealing it from Matt Nahegan, if you have to say one thing that pisses you off or disappoints you the most about the Niners this season, what would it be? If you had to say one thing that pisses you off or disappoints you the most about this 49ers season, what would it be? 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll talk to you on the other side here on The Roast.